Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Bible says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Don't y'all like me a little bit already? I didn't choose like 24 verses to read for our text. It's short. I want you to notice very clear here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm going to minister today on the subject, the revival of the mind. Would you say that with me? The revival of the mind. Lord, your presence is here. Your word says where two or three gather in your name to honor you, they're not just there alone. You join them. You're in the middle of them. Well, Lord, it's way more than two or three here today. So that means you're here. We're here honoring you. So, Lord, we're asking for your presence. We're asking for your anointing. We're asking for your spirit to minister in every section, to every family unit, to every single adult, young person here today that comes needing something from the throne room. Let it unfold. Meet with us today, Jesus, and we'll give you all the glory. Amen. God bless, and you may be seated. Our focus today is our minds. And specifically, we are believing for there to be a revival in the house of God today. The revival that I talk about today is a very specific revival because I believe that the Holy Ghost is coming into this house to give us a revival of our minds. Amen. A refreshing, a renewing of our minds. The mind, simply put, is the center of our thoughts. It's the center of our memory. It's the center of our imagination. It's where decisions happen. It's been said that the brain is the hardware, but the mind is the software, the cognition and the processes that happen from the brain. Things related to the mind seem to be in our conversations and consciousness a lot. So just for a few moments, let's talk about our minds and just bring a few phrases that we use in our day-to-day talking. Make up your mind. Anybody ever told anyone, make up your mind? Or how about this one? If you're married, change your mind. If you're married, or if you have teenagers, speak your mind. I have a good mind too. Any of y'all on the front few rows ever heard that from mom or dad? Huh? I have a good mind too, and then a speech is coming after that. People are open-minded. Some are closed-minded. We are to keep in mind some things, bring to mind some things. We have things that cross our mind. We have things that are on our mind. We have things that slip our mind. We have things somewhere at the back of our mind. And then few of you have told somebody somewhere, somehow, that you're the last thing on my mind. What do you have in mind? Mind your own business. Some of y'all have dated this person. They're playing mind games. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. I'm in the Holy Ghost. Never mind. That's the ending to the supposed ending to arguments, is either never mind or whatever. Never mind. Blow your mind. And as a friend told me years ago, and I know it's old, he said, Greg, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. It's going to be a real small explosion, but I'm going to tell you. State of mind, mastermind, mind over matter. I like these last two. Peace of mind. Somebody help me. Peace of mind. And this next one sounds a lot like that one, but it's not nearly the same. I'm about to give you a piece of my mind. I've noticed when you give somebody a piece of your mind, you're not going to have too much peace of mind. But it does feel good for a moment. The Bible, and I highlight the New Testament, references the mind often as well. All from the New Testament. With all thy mind, call to mind. Speaking of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the angel showed up, it said she cast in her mind. For anybody that likes to fish, no, she wasn't daydreaming about fishing. She was pondering. She was thinking. In his right mind, doubtful mind, readiness of mind, humility of mind. The New Testament references someone with a reprobate mind, carnal mind, the mind of the Spirit. The New Testament talks about the renewing of your mind, be in the same mind, mind not high things, be in one mind, and on, a fervent mind, a willing mind, in the vanity of their mind, in lowliness of mind, fleshly mind, shaken in mind, sound mind, and a ready mind. Just a few moments this morning to let you know that this, not just the physical brain, but the activity of the brain, that is our thinking, that is our mind, is talked of and spoken of so often. It is the center of our intellect. It is the center of our consciousness, our memory, our perception, and the root and center of our emotions. The mind is responsible for our thinking, for our feeling, and for our human will. Now, the biblical definition of the mind is very similar. The biblical definition of the mind is the center of human intellect, the center of our will and our emotion, our reasoning, and our understanding. So we've just taken a few moments this morning to talk about the mind. Now, one does not have to be a prophet, neither operate in the gifts of the Spirit, to discern that we are living in a day where our minds are in the crosshairs of the enemy. I want to say that again. I don't have to be a prophet. I don't have to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit to stand up here and make a strong statement that the minds of humanity, the minds of our society, the minds of the age bracket sitting here on the first few rows in front of me, the minds of families and dads and moms and all the way through our levels of age in society are under the attack, amen. Our minds seem to be the bullseye, and the enemy seems to have placed focus that if I can mess with their minds, I can cause all kinds of issues. Can I get an amen? Anybody would agree that our minds, the pressure is so great in our age. our present world brings so many pressures of life, which brings about much anxiety and stress. I repeat again, our present world, your world, my world, brings so much pressure. Words that we may not like to address in church settings so much, but our age brings so much anxiety, stress points, and pressure. Mental health is a topic of high volume, and it seems to be everywhere in media, social media, and on the news. You read about it. Things can happen, and whether it's criminal activity or just news reports, it references, comes back to so often in our day to mental health. In this pressure cooker arena that is this day, we are facing stress points from every side. The onslaught has been relentless and is affecting and has affected so many. I want to say that again. The onslaught against our minds is affecting and has affected so many. You don't just have to read about it in the news. In our homes and in our families and in our circles of life, mental health and stress and pressure and anxiety, even in the church, is so very real. I see some nods. 3 or 4 weeks ago in my prayer space at home, the Holy Spirit came on me so strong and said, it's about time for you to start addressing this. And God began to put on my heart what I share with you today. Now, please understand, I'm not here today to go in depth. I do not have the time physically or biblically to talk about all the ramifications, all the angles. I can't do that on all things mental, and even biblically, I can't do a full breakdown of the mind. I'm not here today to quote a whole lot of statistics and all of those things, but I am going to preach what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart very strong. Please understand. Please know that this preacher understands that mental illness is very real. I will not go into detail, but I've seen it firsthand in an apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled person's life, that mental illness affected so strong. It affected my home, and it affected my family. So you do not have a preacher here today who's saying that stuff is not real, or if you just have a prayer meeting, that it can fix everything. In some instances, that is not true. Mental illness is real, and I acknowledge that. It's as real as cancer is real. In this journey of addressing our mental health and dealing with the overwhelming anxiety and stress of our day, I understand, and it's been a part of my family's life, I understand that professional counselors have their place. They are a blessing, and I thank God for them. Amen. I understand that doctors have their place. I understand that various forms of therapy can have its place in helping people navigate mental health challenges. I understand that getting a proper diagnosis and being on the right medicines for the certain situations can have its place and play a big part in someone staying balanced and being better able to function in life. Someone in my circle of life, when they're on the right medicine consistently, it helps bring them balance. So I'm not here saying one word against a proper diagnosis or medicine having its place. But that understood, I stand in this pulpit and proclaim, as we consider our minds and the health and the spiritual health of our minds, that as much as all of those have a place, that God's word and God's spirit also has a place. God's word and God's spirit also has a place when we're dealing with our minds and our minds being at peace and our minds being whole and healed. God's word and God's spirit has a place for those facing various levels of stress. I mentioned mental illness, but let's just back all the way up to just stress in our life and anxieties in our life and the pressure points in our life. For those facing and dealing with that, I speak, God desires to be a part of the equation. And God has an antidote to overwhelming anxiety. Amen. He does. God has an antidote to the overwhelming anxiety that can come in our lives. I like that word antidote, so I looked it up this last week. I love this definition. An antidote is a substance that counteracts, neutralizes, or limits the harmful effects of a poison, toxin, or venom. So it is a substance that if a venom or a toxin gets in, then the antidote is a substance that counteracts that. It pushes against the toxin. It pushes against, or it can neutralize or limit the poison. The Holy Ghost, amen, is a great antidote. That's a good place to start. It's a great antidote for the overwhelming anxiety. The Holy Ghost. Somebody hear me. So many times as preachers in churches, and rightfully so, we say God wants to fill hearts in this house today, and he does. But I would like to shift it just a little bit for today. God wants to fill and renew and refresh minds in the house of God today, because the Holy Ghost is not just for our hearts, but the Holy Ghost is for our minds. And the Spirit of God can refresh our minds, and the Spirit of God can renew our minds, and the Spirit of God can even rewire, if needed, our minds. The Holy Ghost is in this house today to do a work, to bring a revival, a very specific revival. Amen. It's a mind revival. It's a mindset revival. It's a mental revival. The Holy Ghost wants to empower somebody today in your mind. With somebody, that's it. Let's just praise the Lord across this house. So overwhelmed mom, there's hope for you in the house of God today. Amen. Stressed out dad, there's hope for you in the house of God today. Young adults sitting in front of me that face so much, amen, from when your generation, from when you're born, these are in your hands, and these are in our hands, and it's just stuff being bombarded. We don't even realize it. And then the pressures and the finances and the stressors. I'm not going through all the list, but you understand it comes at us from every side. But there's hope in the house of God. There's hope. How strong do you feel it, Brother Albritton? Here's how strong I feel it. We often in apostolic church services and revival, amen, we'll talk about 8 got baptized last Sunday, amen, 9 got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm about to say let's add a third metric. How many people got renewed in their minds today? Well, 5 got baptized, 6 got the Holy Ghost, but 30 people, amen, stepped out of their story and their circumstance into the presence of God, and they were renewed in the Spirit. Oh, let's just throw our hands up again. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. You're going to do it in the house today. You're going to let there be a revival of the mind. Hallelujah. 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 So the Holy Ghost can help us. And God has given clear guidance in his word for us to deal with some of this stress and anxiety that comes upon us. We'll start with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. The word world can also be interpreted age. Do not be conformed to the pressures of this age. Don't let the world, one version says, squeeze you or shape you into its mold. But be ye transformed. Somebody say transformed. Transform. Let a metamorphosis happen. Be transformed. Be changed. The word transformed means changed in form, changed in appearance, changed in essence. One explanation said dramatically changed. How can I be dramatically changed or transformed? Amen. Paul tells us, by the renewing of your mind. Let there be a complete renovation. Let there be a complete restructuring of our minds. How am I not going to be squeezed into the mold of this present age? It's going to be as I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. I speak in the Holy Ghost today. We're going to have an altar call in a few minutes, and I want you to bring, I'm not trying to be funny, I want you to bring your bodies to the altar. Amen. I want you to bring your heart to the altar. But what the Holy Ghost is targeting and pinpointing today is bring your mind. God, I'm bringing my mind into the altar. I'm bringing my mind because this is where I need the Holy Ghost to do a work today, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, there are parts, again, I've told you, I can't even touch it physically or talking about the mind, nor scripturally. We can't do a full exegesis, but just to hit a few points, God has given us weapons and power and direction. So one that we can do is understand that God has given us spiritual weapons of warfare. They're referenced in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the natural or in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but they are mighty through God. God gives us some weapons that are mighty to pull down strongholds. Notice at the end of that word strongholds is a semicolon. The next statement is fully connected to this statement. They're side by side. So he's talking about strongholds. But notice what he goes straight into after the weapons are mighty to pull down strongholds. Look what the next verse says. You'll see it on the screen. It goes straight into three things that happen 100%. Right here. He said, you want to know what I've given you some weapons for that will pull down strongholds? Number one, when imaginations start trying to take over, you've got to say, I cast down those imaginations. I'm not going to let the imaginations take over. I'm not going to let my mind. Got to be careful what we feed ourselves. We got to be careful what goes on. Can I give you a humorous illustration that happened this last week? I didn't even tell my wife this, but it happened this last week. I'm 60 years old, and this past week, I've dealt with my first ever kidney stone. First of all, I'd like to apologize to anybody in my 60 years that told me they had a kidney stone, and I just said, oh, well, okay, God bless. Hope you're good. Amen. I apologize. Those things are beast mode. They don't play. Matter of fact, I was reading in the book of James about the tongue, and it says it's a fire, it defiles the whole body, and it's set on fire of hell. I was like, James, I think you meant to write about a kidney stone, not the tongue. Ooh, that thing's bad. But a few weeks ago, I got into looking on YouTube and watching some documentaries of these true crime of these serial killers. And I went down these pathways, and there's some very normal looking people that just
killed people. Ooh. And I'm in the hospital last week, 4 days with this kidney stone, and the guy comes and does my blood, and he said, I'll be back at 3. And between 11 p.m. or whatever and 3, when that guy's coming back, my brain started telling me he's one of those serial killers. And it may have been the medicine helping me be a little wigged out, but I'm like, I don't want to go to sleep. I want to be awake when that cat comes in to take my blood. He might could do something that looked like I just died, like that. He would tell him it was just a bad kidney stone, and I'd be dead. He looked like he. What are you saying, Brother Greg? I'm saying I realized after the fact, amen, I realized I may not need to be watching quite so much of that stuff, amen, because was it hell by itself? Was it sinful by itself? No, I was just curious and watching some things about, it was just documentaries, but I realized I may not need to put too much stuff in my mind, because then my mind can start having some imaginations. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I am to cast down. I'm not to let them live. God has given me power to say, wait a minute. You don't get to live here. You don't get to stay here. I'm going to cast down every high thing that starts exalting itself against the knowledge of God. You don't get to stay. This is my part. I'm casting you down. And every thought. Somebody say every thought. Just because I think it doesn't mean I'm the world's most horrible person. Just because I think it doesn't mean I have to let it live and become a behavior and an action. Amen. I can bring into captivity. That's our weapons of warfare. That's the part that I can do. And on we could go on the thought process. We can understand that if things are untrue, dishonorable, unjust, impure, unpleasant, or of bad report, then I don't need to be thinking on these things. I'll just stay here one more moment and move on. What are you saying, Brother Greg? I'm saying I don't need to fill this with junk 90% of my week and expect God to fix it in 10 minutes at church. I don't need to just be letting the imaginations and the thoughts. So if what I'm listening to, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, if it's feeding all the mess all day long, amen, and I'm letting it go haywire, I have to have the understanding I'm helping a little bit. So I've got to cast down the imaginations. There's some things I'm not letting come in these ears. There's some things I'm not letting come in these eyes. There's some things I'm not letting get into my heart or my mind. I'm going to cast them down. I'm going to bring them into captivity. Ah, hallelujah. 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 Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Sorry if I'm making you all thirsty. It does taste good. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And I've asked them to use the NASB version for this verse only. King James begins this verse by saying, be careful for nothing. On my iPad app, my Bible app, I can just bounce through versions. Almost every other version says, be anxious for nothing. Now, that word careful in King James and anxious is a Greek word that, as I mentioned, is translated anxious. Here's the definition of that word: to be anxious, to be worried. But the part that stood out to me, the Greek word comes from two words that means divide and mind. and it is implying a divided mind. Or here's how it's worded: to be pulled apart in your mind. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything. That's a high bar, I must confess. Please understand, I've not fully arrived at those four words often. Some of you may have. I honor you. I want to have a conversation about your walk with God after church. I can't stand before you and say that I've mastered having no anxiety about anything. But I believe God used the Apostle Paul to say, here's a bar that you can aim for. Here is a goal. Here is a man, a scripture and a word that you can target in your life and in your walk with God to be anxious for nothing. How can I seek to attain, amen, to be anxious about nothing? How can I pursue that? He goes on to say, but in everything. Here's a key. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Somebody say with me, in everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and that word means petitions, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I want to back up and go through this again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Somebody say in everything. I heard a preacher one time says, do you know what the word all means in Greek? Congregation's like, what? He said, all means all. You know what everything means? Everything. He's following up. How can I reduce anxiety in my life? He says, here is the answer. In every single thing, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, for the next few moments, I'm going to weave a few scripture settings together and just share with us for a few moments what I believe can be a huge help and blessing with us and God giving us a revival in our minds. Psalms chapter 105, we'll come back there. Psalms 100 and verse 5 says, enter his gates, 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Stay with me for a moment. And into his courts with praise. Now the courts there may would give us the imagery of the temple. But I would like to back up to the tabernacle, the worship center for the children of Israel as they left Egypt and made their way to the promised land. So if we can put the picture of the tabernacle on the screen here for just a moment. I want you to notice this. This is an artist rendition. Nation of Israel, the tribes camped all about and all around this tabernacle. This tabernacle, notice the boundaries, the fencing there, the walls are set up to separate. This is the tabernacle, we call it. It's the holy place, the holiest of holies. It's where the sacrifice and the worship took place. This, inside this enclosure, is where God told his people, I will meet with you there. So if you see in the bottom right corner of the picture, there's the entryway. There's the gate. There's the opening. So remember the verse we just read, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Remember that Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Somebody say in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we don't mind leaving that picture of the tabernacle on the screen for just a moment. A few weeks ago, God dealt with me. We have a little guest apartment in our backyard. My nephew had lived there for a few months. Now he had moved out. That used to be my prayer room, but he needed a place for a little while. And then when he moved out, I didn't get back into the habit. A few weeks ago, the Lord dealt with me. You need to get back into your habit, because there's just something special about having a place. That's your prayer place. And so I started going back to the little guest apartment in the backyard. And the Lord just dealt with me, because one day I walked into my, it happened more than one day, I walked into my special place of prayer, sat down at the little simple table and chair, and realized I've been here 15 or 20 minutes, and I know how many times Trump has adjusted his stance on the Iran war today. I realize who maybe won or lost last night. I caught up on all my text messages. I checked all my emails. But I've been here 20 minutes and I haven't started praying. In other words, and thank you, Pastor Ryan, isn't this cool? I have gates here for me today. Gates to the tabernacle. That's pretty special. I walked inside the gates. My body was inside that arena where God said he wants to meet with me. But I'm still realizing, and it hit me, wait a minute, your body's in here, Greg, but your mind's still out there processing. Your mind didn't make it inside those gates. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house right now. Amen. I told him I wanted to go meet with him. I wanted him to come meet with me and there to be supernatural interaction. I brought my body in and I was inside of God's arena. I was inside of God's place. And one day I physically got up from my little prayer chair and I walked to the door of that guest apartment and I said, Greg, you're not doing this anymore. Mind, you are going into a place to spend time with God. You're not going in there to catch up on your text messages, though it's a quiet place. You're not going in there to let things just ramble and distract you. Amen. So mind, you are going into his arena where he talks, where he ministers, where he comes. Lord, I come into your presence. I enter your gates with thanksgiving. I enter your courts with praise. I bring my body. I bring my heart. But God, I bring my mind. I bring my mind into your house. I bring my mind into your presence where you speak, where you work. And something began happening that was powerful. And something began happening that was precious. Please notice this picture. Their houses are on the outside of those borders. Their families are on the outside of those borders. If I can speak
amen, if I can just speak imagery, their jobs are on the outside of those borders. Their stress points are on the outside of those borders. But when I get my mind and my body and I bring it inside of God's presence, then now I can tell God what's on my mind. God, that family out there in that tent way over there, amen, I'm going through it with my oldest right now, God. It's not easy, but where am I dealing with it? I'm not dealing with it out here. I'm bringing everything. Somebody say everything. I'm bringing everything to him in prayer. I'm getting me and my mind. God, now that I'm inside of that arena and my mind's in that arena, I'm bringing my kids. I'm bringing my finances. I'm bringing that health challenge. I'm bringing that circumstance. I'm bringing my family. I'm bringing my marriage. I'm bringing my hurt. I'm bringing it to you. God, out there, it's too much for me. Out there, it's too much for me. But God, in here, I'm telling you all about it. So I'm going to get me inside those gates. I'm going to get my mind inside those gates. And once I get in there and get connected with him, I'm going to tell him about everything outside the gates that's weighing on my mind, that's heavy on my mind. Now, if we can put Philippians 4:6 back on the screen. In everything. That means, Brother Johns, as a great leader of our organization, there's not one thing that you can't bring to him in there. Your stressors are different than their stressors, but there's not one thing you can't bring. But young man and young lady that's facing stresses at school and bullying or the junk or the mess or the pressures from social media, you can bring you and your mind in there, and you can bring your heart in there and your life in there and say, God, to the dad, amen, to the dad in this room that the final financial pressure is so overwhelming. You can, everything. How do I lower anxiety? Everything is going to be handled in here. Everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your word and your spirit.
I have given you these tools, given you the words of instruction, and my servant has come this day to give you more instruction, more clearly, to open my word more thoroughly to you. And if you will walk in the precepts, if you will listen carefully to the things that he's telling you this day, if you'll take heed, listen, and not just listen, but do, then I will meet you inside those gates that I have prepared for you to come. And only you by yourself, you cannot bring someone with you. This is one-on-one. I have come to meet you. If you will come to meet me and be obedient to the words that you will continue to hear this day.
Amen. Let's receive that word. Thank you, Jesus. Back to Philippians 4:6. I'm bringing everything. I'm bringing it with thanksgiving. In other words, God, I may be in a mess right now, but I want to thank you for what you did for me last month. I'm not coming whining.
I'm not coming with an ugly spirit. I'm coming. You told us. You gave us a parable about the unjust judge and that lady that knocked every day. And you said, if he would open the door, how much more would you open the door if we just come, if we don't faint? And if I've got to do this every day, it's not a bad thing. God, here I am again today. I'm your child. I brought it yesterday, but I'm bringing it again today. And I'm bringing it with thanksgiving because you got this, God. Brother Philip, would you come help me real quick? I needed a security guard for a moment. Amen. If I will do this, just come stand right here for a moment. I'll let you know. If I will do this, then the next verse happens, and I'll be done. But if I'll do verse 6, somebody say everything. Young lady, it's not too little to bring to God. But it's not too big, sir, ma'am, to bring to God. Anyway, everything. But if I will do that and bring it in here to him, then the Bible says, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, which is beyond understanding. You want to know something really cool that I never knew till this week? The word that is interpreted comprehension, word study, mind, the mind, the peace of God, which surpasses our mind. I need that. It's bigger than my finite thinking. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your. So I'm bringing it to God in prayer. And when I do, look who comes and stands at my gate. Hold your hands out. The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God. Where there's stress, where there's anxiety, where it's overwhelming, being pulled apart. When I keep bringing it into the sanctuary of God, God says, I'm sending some guards. I'm sending some security. I'm sending my peace. And it's not just to make you feel a little bit better. My peace is to hold back the darkness and to push back the anxiety and to push back the stress. Would you stand with us all over the house of God?